In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we continue with volume 3, 11, 3, 1999. This morning, she says, Louisa says, my lovable Jesus came and transported me outside of myself inside a church. And then he disappeared and I was left alone. So here, this is the mystical experiences that Louisa had. This is like she was bilocated to a church. And she's always with Jesus. This is the beauty of what we find with Louisa. Now, finding myself in the presence of the most holy sacrament, I did my usual adoration. Okay, so this is what she has practiced all her life, her adoration with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This is our discipline now. We are learning how to do this, not the way the saints did, but the way Louisa did. See, she possesses the divine will, so we want to learn from her, as she says, usual adoration. And she says, but while I was doing this, I seem to have become all eyes to see whether I could catch sight of sweet Jesus. This all eyes is from the book of Revelation. All eyes on the outside, all eyes on the inside, always looking for Jesus. And at that moment, I saw him on the altar as a child. See, there's no time or space. Louisa sees Jesus as a child, you know, and so she can hold him. That's our God. Our God comes to us, you know, at Christmas, not as judge, not as Lord, as master, as king, but as a child to be held. We see the great humility of our God. And this is why it's important to have an image of the baby Jesus, not just a little image, but a real image that you can hold. And again, this is, Louisa didn't have an image. She could hold the baby Jesus. She could hold him. And at that moment, I saw Jesus on the altar as a child calling me with his gracious little hand. So he's, come here. And who can say my contentment? I flew to him. And without thinking of anything else, I squeezed him in my arms and I kissed him. This is the... If we saw the baby Jesus, would we do this without thinking of anything? Running to Jesus, squeezing him in our arms and kissing him. This is what Our Lady did when she saw the baby Jesus. This, again, the one who possesses the true life of Jesus and Mary is Louisa. It's teaching us that we have to be in love with our God the way he wants to show himself to us. Volume 3, 424. 1900, since the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist is the fruit of the cross, I feel more disposed to concede suffering to you, Louisa, when you receive my body. Okay, so here Jesus is explaining to Louisa, the Sacrament of the Eucharist is the fruit of the Holy Cross. Now think about it. Adam ate of the fruit of the tree and was banished from heaven. We eat the fruit of the tree, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus on the cross when we receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity. We're living more of heaven than of earth. This is why it's so important for us to want to be at Holy Mass every day. I know that sometimes you can't, and in this time it's difficult, but the desire to be with Jesus. So, you know, a lot of people who can't get to Mass, they do spiritual communions. And Jesus said to St. Gertrude, he appeared to St. Gertrude with two ciboriums, one silver, one gold. And the silver, he says, these are the spiritual communions. And these, he says, are the real communions. He says, both are important to me. So what does that say to us? That means that throughout the day, we can make a spiritual communion every hour on the hour. There's no limit. And a lot of the souls who can't go to Holy Mass are receiving Jesus every hour on the hour with a spiritual communion, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, and worshiping him. He says, in fact, in seeing you suffer, it seems to me that I, Jesus, continue my passion in you. Okay, think about the suffering that you're going through, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. He says, I continue my passion in you for the good of souls. There, like I've said before, many souls cannot get into heaven. They don't want heaven. And Jesus said, would you stand in the breach for them? As Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites, Jesus says to us, would you stand in the breach for your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners who you love, but you know can't get to heaven because they don't know Jesus? Would you stand in the breach for them as if they are with me? He says, this will give them the grace at the moment of death to embrace Jesus, because you're doing it for them. It's as if they were doing it, but you're doing it for them. So we stand in the breach, not only for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, but for everyone, all of humanity. That's what Jesus has asked. Jesus says, not mystically, but really, would you stand in the breach for humanity as I did? Not mystically, but really. And he says, this is a great relief for me, Jesus, as I collect the true fruit of my cross and of the Holy Eucharist. See, what's happening is we're becoming more like Jesus, more like Mary, and at Calvary, through the sufferings that we're going through. All of us suffer through the sufferings that we're going through. She says, I can collect the true fruit of my cross. He says, as I continue my passion in you. Volume 3, 5, 1, 1900. My daughter, if the Eucharist is the deposit of the future glory, the cross is the disbursement with which to purchase it. So the cross that we're going through, all of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, to a greater or lesser than another person degree, near us. He says the cross that you're going through, the cross that you're embracing, purchases the Eucharist, the deposit of the future glory. So as we receive the Holy Eucharist, we are receiving this future glory, because we're beginning to live it now. If the Eucharist is the seed that prevents corruption, like those aromatic herbs that prevent decomposition when applied to cadavers and gives immortality, the Eucharist is the seed that gives immortality to the soul. The cross embellishes it so powerful as if debts have been contracted. Okay, so by going to Holy Communion, the cross embellishes the contract. It becomes the guarantor of more surely obtaining the restitution of debts, the debt's deed. Okay, so what Jesus has gone through, what he shares with us, his cross, is you're going to obtain, excuse me, the immortality, the happiness of heaven. After it has satisfied every debt, it forms for the soul the most refulgent throne in the future glory. Ah, yes, the cross and the Eucharist alternate, and one operates more powerfully than the other. So here you have this cross and the Holy Eucharist. See, if we do not meditate on Christ crucified, if we do not meditate on Jesus on the cross, we're not going to understand the Eucharist. That's why John Paul II says, if you love the Eucharist, spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord. Fall in love with the prisoner of love. He says, there is so much that God wants to offer to each and every human And this is why he wanted Eucharistic adoration in every parish, that where we are today, the churches are empty. So what does God do? He gives us the internet where we can go to be with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament and to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, with those chapels that have perpetual adoration. And all you have to do is type in perpetual adoration, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, type it in, boom, there's a whole list of places where you can go each day if you wish. Jesus says, the cross and the Eucharist alternate. We are all suffering. We have that cross. That's our life. But Jesus says, now the Eucharist will also operate one more powerfully than the other, the suffering and the Eucharist, the cross and the Eucharist. And as we begin to understand this, we begin to know, we learn that our Eucharistic Lord is with us. And he says to us, courage. He's saying to us, I won't leave you. He says to us, you know, be peaceful. We need to hear that because most people are panicky. See, we've got to get to the point where what Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Before I return, be peaceful. Don't worry. God, he's always telling us he's in charge. And as we learn that Jesus is our Lord, our Master, our King, our Savior, our God, our God, our all, we become peaceful, joyful, and happy. That's heaven. Volume 4, 7, 3, 1902. My daughter, each period of my life receives from man distinct and special acts and decrees of imitation, decrees of love, decrees of reparation, and of other things. So these decrees of imitation, of love, and reparation is which how Jesus lived. So each period of my life receives from man distinct and special acts. So those that love Jesus as a baby, those that love Jesus as our King, you give distinct and special acts of imitation, of love and reparation and other things. But the period of my Eucharistic life is all life of hiddenness, of transformation, and of continuous consumption. So these three things are important. His life in the Eucharist is hiddenness, where he says to us, you have to be hidden. Father Bucci says very clearly, to live in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. Little, insignificant, and hidden. That's the true life of Luisa. That's what Jesus is asking of us. Littleness, hiddenness, transformation, and consummation. So this little innocence and hiddenness is essential. It's not to stand on the street saying, you got to know Luisa Picaretta. That's not what the divine will is. Archbishop Cassati said to us in 1997, he says, you know, you've been proclaiming Luisa for 3 years. He says, but you've done it in a saintly manner. And he said, this isn't done in a saintly manner. It must be done in a divine manner. And I've mentioned this before. I listened to him and I go, what are you talking about? A divine manner. I thought we were doing it. It didn't make sense to me until it was years later. Reading. All of a sudden, oh, it's to live this. It's not to proclaim it, but to live it by, you proclaim it by living it. It's not to say to anybody, hey, you got to read this book. No, that's not what the divine will is. The divine will is given to us, Jesus says, so that you become the yeast so that the divine will is in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, the church. And the divine will is given to all of humanity. That's what Jesus is asking. Hiddenness, transformation, consumption. So much so, Jesus says, that I can say that after my love reached the excess, was even consumed in my infinite wisdom, Jesus says, I could not find any other external sign to prove my love for mankind. Okay. This consummation, this Christ crucified, I could not find any other external sign to prove my love. If we're not meditating on Christ crucified, we won't spend any time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's why each cross should be in each room of your house. So you're not escaping. Each room, there's Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Each room, there's Jesus. It's, oh, that's being extreme. No. He says, this is what he says. Just as my incarnation, life, and passion on the cross receive love, praise, thanksgiving, and imitation, my sacramental life receives from man an excess of love, a love of dissolving oneself in me, a love of perfect consummation. And as the soul is consumed in my very sacramental life, she can say that she performs before the divinity the same offices that I, Jesus, perform continuously before God out of love of man. So from the cross to the Blessed Sacrament, he says, I can't give anything more. This is it. So this cross receives love, praise, and thanksgiving and imitation. And he says, my sacramental life receives from mankind an excess of love, a love that dissolves oneself in me, a love of perfect consummation, and a soul is consumed in my very sacramental life. Now think about it. More than half the Christians, I would say, don't want Christ crucified. They don't want. And what else don't they want? They don't want our Eucharistic Lord. Jesus, on his last day of his life, he got his apostles together. He picks up the bread and says, this is my body. He picks up the cup and he goes, this is my blood. And half the Christians say he didn't mean it. He was going to die, yeah, but he really didn't mean that. Again, we have to take the place of everybody, kneeling before Jesus, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him. Yet we are convinced, must be, the churches are empty. We don't spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Did he really mean it? This is my body. This is my blood. If he did, the church would be filled. But as you can see, the churches are empty. So what does God do? He says, you know, a lot of the souls who know me are suffering. A lot of the souls who know me are home alone. And he says, I'll let them be with me. He gives us the Eucharist. He gives us exposition through the internet for those who want it. And I know many, many souls who spend many, many hours falling in love with our Eucharistic Lord. And they're miles away from a church. God's going to get what he wants. And he's finding the souls who want him. And he says they perform a continuous consumption before God. And he says this consumption shall make the soul overflow into eternal life. See, God's got everything planned, and he's given everything to his holy church. And even John Paul II said he wanted Eucharistic adoration in every parish. That was in the 80s. So what's happening now? There are souls that can't get to church and are spending time with our Eucharistic Lord. How amazing is that? God's getting his way. God's getting his way. Volume 4, 3, 12, 1903. Loaded down as I was with all pains, I, Jesus, had to press the Omnipotent One to accept and to let me continue my sacrifice for the salvation of the whole of mankind, past, present, and future. And I obtained this, and the sacrifice is still lasting. The pressure is continuous, though it is all the pressure of love. Do you want to know where and how? So here's Jesus. He's talking to us. And then he says to us, do you want to know? And our response is, yes, I want to know this. He says, it is in the Blessed Sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. It is the sacrifice. This sacrifice is continuous. This sacrifice is perpetual. It is pressure I put on the Father to use divine mercy upon creatures and upon souls. In order to obtain their love, I, Jesus, find myself in a continuous contrast, dying continuously, though all deaths, they're through all deaths of love. He dies for each and every one of us. He continues to do that. Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. So aren't you happy that I let you participate in the periods of my own life? Aren't you happy that I let you participate in the periods of my own life? See, our Lord, there's no time or space with Jesus. The bivocation that he gives to the children of the divine will is not the bivocation of the saints. It's Jesus taking where he wants us to go. It's Jesus brings us to himself. He says, continuous dying. I want you to see this. I want you to experience as my mother experienced this. I want you to experience it. Aren't you happy that I let you participate in the periods of my own life? See, when we're with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, he's reviewing his life for us. He's showing us, he's leading us, he's guiding us, he's directing us, he's speaking to us. Volume 5, 10, 3, 1903. Everything has been given value by my blessing. Even more, I tell you that everything good that the creatures do was all done by my holy humanity. See, God has done everything first, so that all the works of mankind, of creatures, might be first to be divinized by me. He's got everything ready. The priest says every day a holy mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Peter in the epistle says, St. Peter says, we are called to be divinized. Everything good that you have done and will do was all done by Jesus first, so that your works, one with Jesus, might be first divinized by God himself. Everything's ready. We're ready to enter this new and divine way of holiness. Furthermore, my life, Jesus says, real and true, is still continues in the world, not only in the Most Holy Sacrament, but in the souls who are in my grace. We become living tabernacles. That's what Jesus is saying. We become living tabernacles when we're in his grace, full of grace. Here's the first living tabernacle. There's the second living tabernacle. And Jesus is saying this to us. I want you to be my living tabernacle. Those who are reading, those who are studying, those who receive the book of heaven that Jesus says, I have given to you. That's what Jesus says. Doesn't matter who gave them to you. I gave this book to you. Volume 6, 12, 5, 1903. Since this morning I could not receive Holy Communion, I was all afflicted, although resigned. And I thought to myself, if I had not been in this position of being bedridden, of being a victim, she says, why me? I would certainly have been able to receive Jesus. And I said to the Lord, You see, the state of victim subjects me to the sacrifice of depriving myself of receiving you in the Holy Sacrament. Then Jesus says, my daughter, poor daughter, courage. Again, these are the first words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope. Courage. You must be courageous. What you're going through, you got to be courageous to go through this. Not to panic. Not to pity, pity, poor me, why me? You got to be courageous. The privation of me excites, listen to this, the desire more. He goes, the privation of me excites the desire of the soul and breathes God. And God, feeling more ignited by the excitement of the soul, breathes the soul, this breath of God, this rule of God. This is Adam coming to life. And this breath, in this breathing each other, God and the soul, thirst for love ignites more. And since love is fire, it forms the purgatory of the soul. What does that mean? He says, this purgatory of love serves the soul, not just in one communion a day, as the church allows, but a continuous communion, just as breathing is continuous. What does that mean? The perennial communion that Adam had before the fall, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. This is what God is breathing into us. A continuous communion, not just a spiritual communion every hour on the hour, but a continuous breathing, breathing in the divine I love you, breathing back to God, his divine I love you, Jesus and us doing that. He says, but these are all communions of most pure love, only of the Holy Spirit, not of body. Since the Spirit is more perfect, as a consequence, love is more intense. This is how you breathe when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This is how I, God, repair not only the one who does not want to receive me, but the soul who cannot receive me, depriving himself of me in order to content me. So here Jesus says, when you can't go to Holy Mass, don't be upset. He says, your desire, he says, is helping all those that don't want to be with me, all those that cannot be with me. You see, the divine will is to do this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, to bring all of humanity before the throne of God. Don't be upset. Be courageous. Don't go pity, pity me. But Lord, you've got a plan in this. Help me to understand. And he goes, you want to know? Keep on reading. I'll show you why this is happening. Volume 7, 10-14, 1906. A soul in purgatory speaks to Louisa. Many times I made abuse by not receiving Holy Communion because of trifles, temptations, and coldness. This is the soul in purgatory. The soul is confessing to Louisa. Many times I made abuse by not receiving Holy Communion because of trifles, temptations, coldness, fears, and sometimes even in order to be able to bring reasons to my confessor to let them hear that I was not receiving Holy Communion. There are some souls that do that. Souls hold all this as nothing, but God judges it most severely. So here the soul is saying how God takes this offense seriously, giving it pains that surpass other pains, because these are defects more directed to love. Okay, so God's love is come to me, and I'm not talking about being in mortal sin. If you're in your mortal sin, you can't go to communion. You have to go to confession first. But what Jesus is saying is, out of trifles, you know, I don't feel well today. Out of trifles, I got to walk up there and I got a bad leg. I don't think I'll go. These defects are more directed towards love against God. In addition, all of this, Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament burns with love and with a desire to give himself to souls, but he feels himself dying continuously with love. And when a soul can draw near him to receive him, but does not, or even more, the soul remains there indifferent with many useless pretexts. The affront that displeases Jesus He receives are such that he feels restless, burning, and cannot give vent to these flames of love, his burning sacred heart. After this, I found myself inside myself, all stupefied and thinking about the pain of that soul in purgatory. And while here with us neglecting Holy Communion is really held as nothing. So Jesus is showing us if you've been called to go to church and you are not in mortal sin, he says, go to communion. Volume 8, 1-2, 1909. To my great repugnance and only to obey, I continue to tell what has happened from December 28th regarding the earthquake. I was thinking to myself about the lot of so many poor people alive under the rocks, but also about the lot of my Lord Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He too alive, buried under the rubble. So here in the earthquake, the church was gone. My daughter, know that my sacramental lot is perhaps less happy, less nauseated under the rocks and in the tabernacles, he says, than in the tabernacles. So here he's going to show us the suffering that he goes through. The number of sacrileges committed by priests and also by people is such that I, Jesus, was tired of descending into their hands and into their hearts, into the point of being forced to destroy almost all of them. And then what about the ambition and scandals of priests? So here Jesus is saying, it's better for me to be crushed under the rocks than into the souls of those who commit sacrilege. He says, I was so tired of that misery, of that sin. He says, I was being forced to destroy almost all of them. Let's look at today. What do you think is going to happen? Jesus is purifying his church. He's purifying his priests. Louisa says, Jesus, I don't see any priests doing this. And Jesus says, there will be. He says, I started my church with 12. If I have to start my church again with 12, I'll do it. He says, but I will have an army of priests. You have to understand, he said, this is a hard one to swallow, but he said, the religious of Jesus' time, that spirit is now alive today. Those are the words of Jesus. And he says he's going to purify his church. He says, because the whole world is going to become Catholic. Everyone is going to be Catholic, Jesus says to Louisa. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. What we're seeing these past couple of years is the beginning, if you want to say, of the end of this era. As Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be worried about. But listen to what he says. I was tired of descending into their hands, into their hearts, to the point of being forced to destroy almost all of them. And then what about the ambition? What about the scandals of priests? We haven't seen anything yet. God's going to purify his church. This is why the more that priests can read the Book of Heaven, this is the way and the how the kingdom's coming, the happier they're going to be. Volume 8, 1-8, 1909. If the soul reaches the point of no longer recognizing herself, but the divine being within her, these are the fruits of good communions. So he says, what's coming is if the soul reaches the point of no longer recognizing herself, I am nothing. God is everything. It's not, oh, pity, pity me, how terrible I am. It's no, I'm nothing. God is everything. He's great. He's loving. He's kind. He's holy. I am nothing. But the divine being within her, and Jesus wants me to become his living tabernacle. These are the fruits of good communions. And this is the divine purpose in wanting to communicate himself to souls. But how frustrated, Jesus says, my love remains. How few are the fruits that the soul gathers from the Blessed Sacrament, to the point that the majority of them remain indifferent, even nauseated by this divine food. Jesus says he's alone. Jesus says, you know, come to me, all you who are worried and fearful, find life difficult, and I will refresh you. If you're burdened with misery, I will refresh you. This is the Holy Eucharist. Volume 8, 127, 1909. My daughter, do you know who you are? Now, Jesus says this to Louisa to make us aware. He says, you are Louisa of the Passion of the Tabernacle. Listen to that. Isn't that a great title? Louisa of the Passion of the Tabernacle. We want our name to be there as well. One with Louisa, the Passion of the Tabernacle. You see, Jesus says, when I share my pains with you, you are still of Calvary. So here's something. When we are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, we are one with Christ crucified. We're one with Christ crucified. When I don't have you share my pains, you are of the tabernacle. We're never separated from Jesus, either on Calvary or in the tabernacle. Never separated from Jesus. See how true this is. In the tabernacle, I show nothing on the outside, neither the crosses, the thorns, yet my immolation is the same as on Calvary. The prayers are the same. The offerings of my life still continues. My divine will has not changed anything. I burn with thirst for the salvation of souls. That's Jesus. That's his divine will. I burn with thirst. I thirst for souls, the salvation of souls. I can say that things of my sacramental life united with those of my mortal life are always at one point. They have decreased in nothing. However, everything is interior. So if your human will is the same as when I used to share my pains with you, if your offerings are similar, if your interior is united with me, Jesus, in my divine will, am I not right in saying that you are Louisa of the Passion of the Tabernacle? She teaches us as a child to be with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Go to Our Lady of the Greca Church, that little square that Father Bucci showed us. This is where Louisa knelt as a child. Louisa of the Passion of the Tabernacle. With this difference alone, Jesus says that when I share my pains with you, you take part in my mortal life. Same thing with us. And I spare the world and your family and your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers and your parishioners. I spare the world from the gravest scourges. When I do not share them with you, I scourge the world, and I take part. And you take part in my sacramental life, but the life is always one, either the cross or the tabernacle. You have to understand, when you're suffering, you're saving people. If you're in the divine will with Jesus, save souls. Use me as you wish, on the cross or in the tabernacle. Use me as you wish. Many souls cannot get to heaven without somebody taking their place. Through the sufferings, many souls. I mean, one of the things that you're going to find when you get to heaven are souls running up to you, thanking you. Thank you because of what you went through. I got to heaven. And then you running up to souls saying to them, thank you. I couldn't have gotten to heaven without your suffering. We all get into heaven together. This is what we're going to discover. This is why being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, again, sharing this passion of the tabernacle with Louisa, one with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, you want to be there. Courage, he says. Wait till I show you what I've got planned, Jesus says. Volume 9, 323, 1910. My daughter, I recommend that you not get out of my divine will, because my divine will contains such power as to be a new baptism for the soul, and even more than baptism itself. In fact, while in the sacraments, they are part of my grace, in my divine will, listen to this, there is the whole fullness of God. In baptism, the stain of original sin is removed, but the passions, the weaknesses remain. That's where we are. In my divine will, since the soul destroys her own human volition, she also destroys passions, weaknesses, and all that is human, and the soul lives of the virtues of the fortitude and of all the divine qualities. That's the sixth step that Our Lady teaches Luisa in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. Nobody's there yet. Luisa's there. Luisa possesses it. But what Jesus is showing us is to live in the divine will, your passions are going to be gone. Your weaknesses are going to be gone. All that is human is going to be gone. Why? Because you're living the lives of the virtues and of the fortitudes and all the divine qualities. It's begun. Now, the fullness of it, again, like I said, nobody possesses it now. We all got to go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. God goes, good, good. What are you going to do? And so we read more. We study more. We spend more time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We enter into this passion of the tabernacle with Luisa. On hearing this, Luisa said to herself, in a little while, Jesus is going to say that his divine will is greater than communion itself. I remember reading this to Cardinal Burke. And I said, Cardinal Burke, this is what Jesus says. And he goes, what? He says, and I'm reading it. He says, give that to me. I said, well, I printed it for you. Because this is what he says. Jesus says this, how can divine will be greater than communion? How can God be greater than God? And Jesus added, of course, this is true because sacramental communion lasts a few minutes. Okay, that's the effect of receiving Holy Communion. 15 minutes. He says, while my divine will is perennial communion, even more eternal, entering eternity in heaven. So with what Adam had, Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. Okay. This, Jesus says, I give you Holy Communion now for 15 minutes until the host dissolves to prepare you for the perennial communion that's going to be given to all of humanity. He says, this is what Jesus says. The divine will is a perennial communion, even more eternal, entering eternity itself. The sacramental communion is subject to some obstacles, either because of illness or necessity or because of those who have to administer it. While the communion of my divine will is not subject to any hindrance. He says, if the soul only wants it, all is done. No one can prevent the soul from having such a great good that forms the happiness of earth and of heaven. Neither the demons nor creatures, not even my omnipotence itself. So what is Jesus saying? As you enter into communion in the divine will, all is done. See, there's no hindrances. You don't have to wait for Holy Mass. You know, it's there. Now, why does Jesus do this? This is the great thing that you're going to begin to live. He doesn't want to be separated from you. So he's going to explain more why he's done this. And we're going to hear this in the next 15 minutes. But I'll tell you, what God has planned makes you completely, completely, completely happy. It's a new beginning that's happening for all of humanity. This is why when you meet the children of the divine will, they're happy. Why are you happy? Your oneness with Jesus, oneness with Mary, oneness with Luisa is evident for those souls. There's no worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. There's going to be no sin. God is freeing us. That's what he said right from the beginning. freeing you, us from all of earth to begin to live all of heaven. Because that's our goal. That's where Our Lady says her children are going to go to. She says her children are going to enter into the beatific vision where they belong, where the evil one and his children will always be trapped in time and space. So we'll end there and be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
And we are listening to Reflections on Louisa and the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist in the Divine Will, Part 1, by Reverend Father B. Thomas Elso, BDV. Father just concluded talk number 2 of a scheduled 5 talk day of recollection. We'll now go back to Poland for the next 14 minutes in perpetual Eucharistic adoration.